Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. Today my guest on Piano Jazz is violinist Regina Carter, whose brilliance, daring, and sheer spunk has led her to create music that's wonderfully listenable as well as technically exciting. Welcome to Piano Jazz, young lady.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great that you're here. Get to play some good old tunes.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm dying to ask you about your trip to Italy and the violin, Paganini's violin.
Well, it's definitely a fairy tale story. About 2 years ago, my pianist and my quintet, Vanna Gehrig, and his friend Andrea decided I should be the first non-classical player to play on this 250-year-old violin that belonged to the great Niccolò Paganini. And they had to go through all of the politicians and the community of Genoa and the Paganini Institute to convince them that if I played jazz on this violin, it wouldn't debase the value of the violin.
Oh, my goodness.
Which so many
Imagine
people believed.
It would increase it, I would think.
I would think so, too. And it's kept in the museum in Genoa and heavily guarded. And it was brought to me with a whole brigade of cars with flashing lights and police officers surrounding it at all times. A lot of people came out of curiosity, but once they saw how much I respected the instrument and they knew my background as a musician and that I had studied European classical music and I knew the whole history of the violin and of Paganini, then they relaxed a little bit and actually allowed me to record my latest CD, Paganini After a Dream, with the violin. And one of the violin keepers said that I caused less stress to this violin than most classical players do, because in order to play jazz on violin, you usually have to use a much lighter bow stroke and less bow, so it doesn't stress the instrument.
I think that whole story is fantastic, and the fact that you recorded it. Congratulations.
Thank
honey.
You. Thank you so much.
Now here we are with your violin. We're going to play some good old jazz tunes.
Right. And I don't have to worry about any armed guards coming
no,
in here. So.
No armed guards.
No.
So what would you like to open with?
There's a tune that I love. I heard Ella Fitzgerald sing it called The Music Goes Round and Round.
It's funny. I know that tune from about at least 50 or 60 years ago. I'm trying to think, it was an instrumental group that played it.
Huh.
I don't know how I learned it, but I don't think I've played it since. So let's see what happens.
Okay.
Have a million tunes in your repertoire. How do you learn them? Just play the record?
I usually just play the record. I find I like to learn tunes that way rather than reading them, because I remember them when I hear them. I think because of the way I was taught to play violin was by ear as a child before I learned how to read. But and some tunes, as growing up, maybe watching television or taking dance classes, I would hear a tune and just remember it and not realize it until much later in my life that was a jazz piece.
Well, let's have a go at another tune. What else can we do from your repertoire?
Well, speaking of a tune that I learned when I was a child, I danced my first tap recital to this piece, Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Really?
And, it's so funny. And again, I didn't know. It was just a piece that I danced to, and then later on I realized it was a jazz piece.
Boy, you could be a vaudeville act,
right?
Tap a chorus, then play the violin and dance at the same time.
Right. Maybe I'd make some money there.
maybe that's something you can do one of these days. Oh, God. Well, all right, Chattanooga Choo Choo. Great. Johnny Mercer tune. So let's have at it, see where we go. Aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You must have heard a lot of jazz. It's such a great jazz town.
Yeah, it really was. We never went out to clubs to hear jazz until I was old enough to drive myself. But just on the radio, I heard a lot of great music.
Who were your mentors years ago? Like, who did you first hear on the violin that inspired you to play that instrument?
Well, when I was young, I was playing classical music only, and my mentors were Itzhak Perlman and Yehudi Menuhin, and I actually had a chance to have master classes with them when I was quite young.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize you'd done great stuff like that. How were they as teachers?
Really warm and really giving. Itzhak would come, and there was a group of us that would play, and he would critique us. And he just seemed like a genuinely nice person, and his critiques were always positive. And when I was in high school, I had my master class with Yehudi Menuhin, and I remember my violin teacher at the time hated the fact that I just found out about jazz when I was about 15, and I was just so taken by the music and wanted to play jazz, and my teacher hated that, and he said, "You're going to ruin your career." And when we had our master class, he said to Yehudi, she wants to play jazz in a very derogatory manner. And Yehudi said, "Leave her alone." And he picked up his violin and played kind of a bluesy lick. And so he was really interested in jazz. So I felt like, hey, I've got one of the great masters on my side.
On your side, yeah. So, but did you get away from the classics altogether?
I did. Once I left college, I did. Actually, my second year of college. And only because the way the music was taught to me when I was at the conservatory, it was so strict. And
that's
so
true.
It really, I left that music completely until I found a teacher in New York once I moved here. And she said, "You don't hate that music. You just hate the way it was presented to you." And she helped me to find my way back to it and to appreciate it again.
What do you think about us trying another tune?
Yeah. This next tune I'd like to do is, I recorded it on my new record, Paganini After a Dream, and it's from one of my favorite movies, Black Orpheus, and I've seen the movie 1,000 times, and the title piece, Black Orpheus, I like to play that.
Oh, I love that piece. Played in some funk and rock bands, I read somewhere.
Yeah. When I, in high school, actually, I played in I guess it was like a rock band or pop band called Brainstorm. And on their records, they had all these string arrangements. And so on live, though, I was the only string player, but I kind of would pick and choose what parts I wanted to play. And that was a lot of fun. I got to tour with them in the summer. And then when I moved to New York, I joined the Black Rock Coalition and played with Greg Tate's band, Women in Love, and played with
people. I never heard of that one. That's...
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a very different experience for me. I remember the electric bassist, Michelle Indigiocello, was in the band. That was before she was a really big star. And just I met a lot of people and just different kind of music. So I put myself in every kind of situation, because when I moved to New York, people said, be careful of the style of music you play, because people are going to peg you as that style of musician. And so I thought, well, then I'm not going to play just one thing. I'm going to spread myself and just have all kinds of experiences.
Boy, that's a very clever thing for you to do. And it's great if you can play in different styles. Like, have you done country music as well?
I've only touched on it.
What will we do? Let's go to the other extreme and do some Monk.
Yeah.
What do you
Blue
think?
Monk, yeah.
Blue Monk?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good
tune.
One. Make a really good last tune, Softly as in the Morning Sunrise.
Great idea.
That's
love that.
A terrific
tune.
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.